Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. So much is changing in the world, and that permeates into real estate. What's the new normal going to look like? Today, we'll talk about the new realities for real estate investors and preparing for what's coming next. And we've got an amazing guest on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
With everything going on in the world, don't let your lack of financial understanding derail your investments. Real estate investors need to see the bigger economic picture. The Federal Reserve, bonds and interest rates, precious metals, oil and gas, cryptocurrency, and the inner workings of monetary policy. Just to start, if you're at all confused about how and why market metrics intersect and what it means to you as a real estate investor, take your understanding to a new level with the Future of Money and Wealth video collection. Discover the opportunity to hedge against inflation, deflation, and stagflation. Gain critical insights on real estate niches that perform well in challenging times, and learn specific strategies to fortify your balance sheet before it's too late. Simply send an email to future@realestateguysradio.com for all the details. The Future of Money and Wealth includes 20 videos of powerful presentations and panel discussions featuring Robert Kiyosaki, Peter Schiff, G. Edward Griffin, Dr. Doug Duncan, Simon Black, CPA Tom Wheelwright, Brian London, Dr. Chris Martinson, and many more. Email future@realestateguysradio.com today.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Joining me, as usual, is our co-host and financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
There's so much to talk about these days. We talk about real estate-specific topics, certainly, but also the bigger picture economics and with the pandemic and the reaction, and there's just a lot of uncertainty. So back at the beginning of the year, February or so, we had a chance to sit down with our good friend Ken McElroy. He's the Rich Dad Advisor for Real Estate. He's been a good friend a long time. And when Kenny has something to say, we have ears to listen because he's been right a lot more than he's been wrong. And he's always got great wisdom. At the time of the interview, COVID was just barely even a thing. And so we were talking about adding value. And we thought, gosh, in the light of this, here's a guy with more than 7,000 apartment units. We should probably ask Kenny to weigh in on what's going on in light of the new normal.
Yeah, well, he's in multi-markets, but I think the thing about Ken, there's a couple of things he brings to the party. One is his tactical experience. He's been in the game a long time. He's ridden a lot of up and down market cycles, and he's a real down-to-earth practical guy. He speaks in plain English, comes up with these profound statements. In fact, his team literally creates, you know, a whole thing of collectible quotes that Ken says, because he really can be very profound. And if you don't pay attention, you miss something that he says. It's deep in meaning. But I think the other thing that Ken has going for him that makes him really, really unique is he's close friends with Robert Kiyosaki. And he and Robert talk all the time. I know that in the business of talking to people, the more you talk with smart people and engage in conversations, the sharper you become. And the more you talk with the types of people that you work with, the more you begin to understand them. And Robert is an investor, but he's a passive investor. Kenny is a hands-on guy and runs a team of hands-on people. But Robert is on the other end of the spectrum. And Robert is a big picture thinker. He's always worried about what's going on at the macro with energy and interest rates and bond. We've learned a lot from hanging out with Robert, modeled ourselves a lot like trying to be more like him, because he's been right, to your point, more often than wrong. And so when you talk to Kenny, you kind of get the benefit of those conversations. And so Kenny brings a lot more to the table than just his own personal experience, but he brings this strategic insight that a guy like Kiyosaki brings to the party. And Robert Kiyosaki is not the only smart guy that Kenny McElroy talks with.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Ken has been part of the Entrepreneurs Organization for a long time, the Young Presidents Organization. I mean, the guy is sharp, and he surrounds himself with people that are doing the thing. But as you'll also hear, he also has a great network of people outside of the real estate industry, which is important. I think so many people in real estate get dogmatically focused on just real estate, and even worse, just their market or just their niche. And while you want to know a lot about the market you're in, there is a bigger picture. We've been proponents for a long time of getting our heads out of the weeds and looking up at the horizon. And so Kenny's always a few moves ahead. He's looking down the road. He's an operator. His background is property management. Although their company's involved in development and they do a lot of different types of investing, his core investing philosophy comes from being a property manager over the years, and they specialize, he and his partner Ross, in B-class apartments. So they typically look for an apartment complex. It's maybe 200, 300, 400 units that's not in great financial shape. Now, it might not be in great physical shape either, but it needs some help in order to increase the rents. And income property is valued based on its rents. So the value of the property increases as the rents increase. And over the years, Kenny's taught us a bunch about clever ways and different ways to increase your net operating income. And now that things are kind of on the fritz in so many ways when it comes to being a landlord, we thought it was definitely time to pick Kenny's big brain.
Absolutely. Because again, here's a guy that has business experience, investing experience, syndication experience, sees the big picture, and can be a tactical operator all wrapped up into one guy that speaks in plain English and isn't trying to show off how smart he is with fancy words and fancy terms. And you learn, I've learned a lot from Ken, not just in what he says, but by watching how he conducts himself, how he behaves when he's around people, the way he refers to himself, the way he refers to his team members, just some of his mannerisms. He's a bit of a philosopher, actually. And I've started to realize that the more we have conversations with him. And so, you know, when you have an opportunity, as we do, and very privileged, I mean, you got a chance to climb Mount Kilimanjaro with Kenny and a bunch of friends. And so you got a lot of quality time with Kenny.
2 weeks with Kenny. It was amazing.
Yeah, I've gotten time with Kenny, you know, on the summit over the years and always looking forward. But anytime you have an opportunity to spend some time with a very successful, open person who understands how to take the things they've done instinctively and put them into words that you can understand, that's time well spent. And so we had the opportunity to get together with Kenny. We want to share that with you because he is an awesome possum, I guess I would say. Just an incredible guy.
That is your opportunity today. When we come back, you'll meet our good friend Ken McElroy today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
When the world changes, investing strategy changes too. The coronavirus is disrupting economies, financial systems, and daily life like nothing in modern history. Sheltering in place might protect you from the virus, but a wait-and-see approach to investing now is like pulling the sheets over your head while the house burns down. It's not the time to be complacent. So we're calling our huge network of thought leaders, seasoned investors, and technical experts to find out what they're seeing, thinking, and doing to mitigate risk and capture opportunity, and we're recording all of it. We're calling it our Coronavirus Crisis Investing Webinar, and it's totally free. All you need to do is register. Remember, mainstream media doesn't talk to real estate investors. They don't understand you because Wall Street pays them not to. That's why the Real Estate Guys are here. To register for the Crisis Investing Webinar, simply send an email to crisis@realestateguysradio.com. That's crisis@realestateguysradio.com. Real world wisdom is the best vaccine for a healthy financial future. Send your email to crisis@realestateguysradio.com.
Don't be like Charlie, who scans the internet for IRA information, often getting bad information from copycats who have no idea what they're doing. You deserve to work with a reputable firm that specializes in one thing, the EQRP. Lucky for you, Congress just made it possible for you to get up to $200,000 out of your current 401k or TSP, so you can invest that money in real estate or even your own business. Even if you're still working, it's possible to get access to all this money tax-free. Whether you're a full-time investor, a doctor, or a government employee, even if you have employees, the EQRP is your secret weapon. You'll never see this strategy in Money Magazine, only here with the Real Estate Guys. Every major accounting firm in America is quietly sharing this strategy with their wealthy clients, helping them get their funds freed from 401k jail. Hi, I'm Damian Lupo, and we have your solution. With the CARES Act expiring soon, this strategy will be gone forever. The EQRP company is ready to help you unleash your retirement funds now. Want to learn more about this strategy? Send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com for my special EQRP report today.
Hi, this is Mauricio Raul, the founder and CEO of Mir Law Group, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. When we want to know what's going on in the world of real estate, one of the men we turn to is Kenny McElroy. He is the Rich Dad Advisor for Real Estate, best-selling author of all kinds of great books, including the ABCs of Real Estate Investing and the ABCs of Property Management, plus his latest book, which we'll talk about before we're done because it's really cool. Let's say hello to our good friend, Ken McElroy. Hey, Ken.
Hey, guys. How are you? Great to see you guys.
Well, it's great to see you as always. We actually had you on the show earlier this year, but that was kind of before this whole COVID-19 thing broke out. We'd all heard rumblings, but, you know, most folks weren't wearing masks, people weren't social distancing, and then all of a sudden, boom, the world changed. So we thought it'd be great to have you back on to pick your brain on some of the potential new normal in real estate investing. And I think let's start with talking about current operations. Most listeners know of your background in property management and the thousands of apartment units that you guys own and manage. Today, there's certainly a lot of concern over tenants losing their jobs, not paying rent, eviction moratoriums, forbearance agreements, virtual showings, and so on. Ken, what's your take on where things are from an operational point of view when it comes to rental real estate?
Sure. Well, the truth is, guys, this is part of management. This is exactly, you're supposed to be prepared for this time. Management is really easy when tenants are coming in and rents are going up. This is when all the management techniques and all the things that we've talked about for years kind of get exposed. Everything gets exposed right now based on what they did or whoever did it during the run-up. So, you know, I've been in property management for 30 years. You know, we own our own firm. We've got about 250 folks in it. We manage our own properties. We have self-storage, office, land development, apartments. So we've right now have about 8,000 tenants. So when all this happened in March, it hit us pretty hard. We have multiple properties in multiple states and we had to shut down. We had, what was interesting for us is we had properties in Oklahoma, properties in Texas, properties in Nevada, properties in Arizona. And so every state and every state was a little bit different. So, you just got to adjust. But honestly, we've been through it before. I've been through it before, not a pandemic, not a virus, but massive downturns in the economy, obviously 08 being the last one. So, and residents losing their jobs and people losing their homes and all that stuff. So for me, this already happened. It's just a little bit different.
Yeah, and that's really why we wanted to pick your brain about it, because it is an ongoing part of management and really holding and owning real estate. There's going to be good times, there's going to be tough times, and you have to be able to hold the course, which presupposes that you got in right, right? Like there's kind of the type of owner who is well positioned to withstand a downturn. They don't want to withstand a downturn. They don't like a downturn, but they're positioned. They're not overly leveraged. They didn't underwrite to the edge. Like they had some cushion. And then there's the folks that didn't do that and may be having problems. And that'll lead to maybe part of our discussion later, which is what happens on the backside of this. But what are you seeing in terms of just working with tenants and delinquencies and trying to be empathetic and yet at the same time needing to make the mortgage payment?
Yeah, well, all really good questions. So here's what we found. We found, we have a lot of different kinds of properties. Our senior properties, as you would imagine, 100%, collected. They were already kind of unplugged from, all the paychecks and things like that. So any of our senior projects were 100% full, 100% collected. And then we started to see cracks in some of the areas, largely around wherever we bought. Yep. So if you bought something that was maybe around a tourism area, then obviously you're going to have a little more of an impact than something that's more maybe around healthcare. And so it just kind of depended on where the market and where the properties were. But generally, we broke our tenants into three buckets. The bucket one was, the ones that paid, and that was, roughly 80% of 8,000 people. And then, bucket two were the people that came and said, hey, we've got some issues. We're not sure if we're going to be able to pay. And then we implemented what's called the PTP program, our promise to pay, and we put them on a separate agreement, and we worked with them. And that was a lot of folks. That was about 15%. This is company-wide, not property-specific. And then we had the people that read the news and said, oh, I don't have to pay, and didn't communicate at all. And so that, luckily for us, was a pretty small percentage. And so as a company, you know, we were dealing with just several hundred folks. Now, it sounds like a lot. It is. But, you know, when you're talking about 5 or 10 per project, it was pretty manageable. And then those were the ones that we were the most concerned with and the most exposed with. You know, the ones that communicated with us, obviously, the last thing, you know, we wanted was to boot anybody out. That's not at all, because these are all good people. We screened them well in the beginning. We know who they are. We know where they were. You know, we know a lot about them. And we don't want to ruin their credit. They don't want to ruin their credit. And we want to work with them. And that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, great, great stuff. Now, let's talk about the other side, which, of course, is the fact that there were people who were in escrow to buy. There were people looking for properties. And now there's kind of this big change. Durability of income isn't maybe as strong as it was. There are certain sectors, as you've mentioned, demographic as well as markets that maybe aren't going to perform as well. Let's talk about the backside of this, because one of the things you and Ross did an amazing job of is recognizing on the way down last time that there was buying opportunity. And as you shared with us at our last Secrets of Successful Syndication event, that was a longer time period than people remember. I mean, the buying spree, if you will, lasted a few years. So there was time. Now we've got all these people saying, all right, well, there's going to be bargains. We've been talking about this back and forth. We're ready for that. But let's talk about that side. What do you think we're going to see when we come out of the pandemic as far as opportunity goes?
Well, a couple things. I want to back up. You know, as you know, in 2018, 2019, Ross and I stopped buying.
Right.
And so the fundamentals with a lot of folks didn't make sense. And now, I'm not saying that there weren't deals. But we just said, listen, you know, our returns are less. You know, they kind of pumped it up in 16, 17, 18 with lower interest rates and made, you know, kind of tried to, you know, keep things going. But then, you know, then it was tough. You know, then you had lots of people bidding on projects and the prices were high and the cap rates were low and all that stuff. So for us, we were already peaking. I was actually wondering, you know, when's this going to stop? You know, how high can it really go? Rents are going like this. Occupancies are super high, and you know, people are just making money without really a lot of financial intelligence, in my opinion. So we were already unplugged, and we sold about $250 million worth of stuff in 2019 at a low 4 cap. And we did that to take some chips off the table and be liquid. And so that was part of our strategy. We obviously could have never predicted this. It's horrible what's happening, you know, obviously. But we knew at some point, you know, the music stops, just like it did in the past, you know, downturn. So I think what happens is people, they think, you know, it takes a while to blow that balloon up and it takes a while for it to go down. So nobody's going to walk away from a home, period. They're just not. You know, they're going to stay in it as long as they can, and they're going to have hope that they get, you know, the employer that they're with is going to go back, you know, open back up, or they're going to continue government money or whatever it is. But they're going to stay in that home as long as they can. And they're going to, you know, fight tooth and nail. And so these things all have lag. They have a lot of lag. And so the unwinding, I honestly don't even think we've seen anything. I mean, not even in the maybe the first or the second inning.
Such a good point. And I think as it goes along, people are recognizing that, right? Obviously, on the virus front, it's like, well, we're going to open back up. And then, well, that wasn't such a good idea. And we've seen changes in different states and different countries about how they've handled that. Part of the whole issue is deciding when it's time. You talk a lot about not wanting to catch a falling knife. And if you can be patient, there are going to be opportunities, but how do you make sure that one, you're in position, and two, you don't buy something just because it seems like everything's on sale?
Right. Well, I think you gotta pay attention, and you guys are really good about this, but you gotta look, you know, I know Russ is, you know, super analytical, and this is the time to be analytical on the migration patterns, on the listings that are getting poured into a certain market or a submarket. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at Zillow, in the last 60 days, the listings have been down by almost 30%. So that's why, you know, when the listings or when the inventory is low, prices go up, period. That's just the way it is. But now a lot of people, like I think it's close to 5 million people have, you know, moved into this forbearance, you know, under the CARES program. And so their 180 days ends up in September. And then I think they can kick it down the road for another 180 days, which puts them into March of next year. Well, if they get past the first 180 and they can prove hardship, you know, they may, and we don't always know, of course, what's going to happen with the CARES Act, whether they're going to roll out more PPP, whether they're going to roll out more unemployment insurance, and whether they're going to roll out, you know, more of these forbearance things. But that's a big deal, because that is close to, right now, it's close to 5 million people that are having trouble with their mortgages. And so that's an inventory issue. Now, obviously, a lot of those people will keep their homes, and there'll be all kinds of things that happen. But there's a percentage, I don't know what it's going to be, somewhere between 0 and 5 million,
yeah.
you know, that's going to hit the market, you know, it's going to hit all these individual markets. And then let's don't forget about, I think the New York Times had an article this week about, you know, pending evictions. So I know in Arizona, which is where I'm from, we have almost 500,000 people that are in trouble. And in the nation, the estimate is somewhere between 18 and 22 million people that are going to be in trouble between now and the end of September. So you have those two things coming. And that's what I mean about being just in the first inning. We don't know. We don't know. I personally have lots of friends that are in business, and they're in trouble. You know, they're in trouble financially. I have a good friend of mine, actually, he's been in the news lately because he sued the governor of Arizona. And, you know, he's got 1,500 employees and he owns a whole bunch of gyms. And he's trying to open, you know, and they're saying, no, you can't open. And, you know, and that, you know, this, anyway, so the point is, he didn't get any PPP money because he's over 500 employees. And so you've got big, big people in town. That's just the gyms. I'm talking about, you know, restaurants and hotels. And I've got friends that own those things, and they're in big trouble. And so we don't know if they're going to open, if they're going to survive, if the lenders are working with them, if their investors are going to take them over or what. All that's happening. And, of course, they employ people. So it's just really too early. But the signs are not good because, you know, the numbers, the sheer numbers are kind of scary, you know?
You know, you talk about a guy like that with 1,500 employees. Those are 1,500 tenants of somebody who no longer have paychecks. There's been the increase in unemployment, temporary. There's been the measures that, you know, the smaller employers have had. But at some point, a lot of news right now because the moratorium on evictions may be coming to an end. And to your point, just like with forbearance, that may get kicked down the road. But at some point, you know, there was this license not to pay, right? If there's not going to be an eviction, well, I might pay my rent, I might not.
Yeah.
But all the human interest stories are coming out about, oh, this poor couple and this, you know, single parent and these folks that have this eviction looming. Well, if you didn't pay, that's going to be looming. And yet it's really, it's almost like it's been backed up and all of a sudden the plug's going to come loose and then it's going to be ugly just going through. You know, you don't deal with a whole lot of evictions, but imagine you have to put pause on all your evictions for 5 or 10 months and now everything comes to the pipeline. That's going to wreak some havoc.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, like the worst part of all this is we have some really good residents that live in our properties and I can't imagine the stress and anxiety and fear that they have. And so from our company, we're just trying to, yeah, I had the same stuff happen in 2008. We had a whole, what was called a life interruption plan. We had banners made and we put them out on our entrances of our property and people would come in and we sat down with them. We worked with them. So it's possible to sit down with people and be civil and, you know, just unwind stuff and figure it out together. And that's, so far, we've been pretty encouraged with that as ourselves. But a lot of people aren't approaching it that way, you know, both on the landlord and on the tenant side.
We're talking with real estate entrepreneur and best-selling author Ken McElroy about the new normal for real estate. We've got lots more coming up, including a chance to win Kenny's new book when we play Real Estate Trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Having trouble finding deals where the numbers make sense? Invest in an asset class that delivers cash flow to you in good times and bad, and where most of that cash flow is tax-free. I'm Dave Zook. Many of you have heard me speak at Real Estate Guys events or heard me on their podcast. My team is a top 5 ATM operator in the country, and right now accredited investors can make cash flow returns well into the double digits and get huge tax deductions. For your free report on this lucrative asset class, email atm@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Lawrence Yun, Chief Economist with National Association of Realtors, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. Despite all the sheltering in place, there still are a lot of cool events, live and virtual, coming up. You can find out the details. Go to our website at realestateguysradio.com and click the button that says Events. We're talking about the new realities for real estate investors and how we can prepare for what's coming down the pike. Our guest is Ken McElroy. Before we return to the interview with Ken, it's time to play real estate trivia. That's your chance to win a prize, and it's a good one. By knowing today's real estate trivia question, in just a minute when I give you the question, you're going to quickly come up with the answer and then send us via email your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. The first person that gets it right is going to win Ken's brand new book called Return to Orchard Canyon. It's a business novel, and you're going to dig it. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week on the show, we had economist and author Richard Duncan with us all the way from Thailand, and this was our real estate trivia question. Name the national flower of Thailand. Well, it's the orchid. In fact, over 1,500 species of orchids can be found growing wild in the Thai forest, and Thailand is one of the world's largest orchid exporters. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Name the tallest building in the state of Maine. Yeah, of all the buildings in the entire state of Maine, one is the tallest, and believe it or not, it's also the oldest. What building is that? If you know, or you live there, or you just want to guess, or look it up, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. We'll need your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address. Because if you're the winner, we're going to send you a copy of Return to Orchard Canyon, Ken McElroy's latest book. Really an outstanding work. You're going to want to pick it up either way, even if you don't win. Our Syndication Mentoring Club did a book study, and Kenny was kind enough to drop in and take questions and share his thoughts. It's a business novel, Return to Orchard Canyon. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking with the author of that great book and the Rich Dad Advisor for Real Estate, Kenny McElroy. Now, Ken, last time around, 2008-2009, I distinctly remember having a conversation with you about strategically picking markets in the new world, when it's not maybe the new normal we have now, but you were very strategic. You guys picked properties that were, you know, in that B class, but also geographically near jobs that couldn't be moved, and so you're in a handful of states. Has that changed, or do you think there's different opportunity with what we're seeing? Because when we come out of this and it finally is time to put our foot on the gas pedal, maybe it's a different world.
Well, it already is. By the way, what a great question. I think all this is bad, but it is part of owning things, and it is part of the buying cycle, and everything can't go up. As you know, we've got the different phases from recession to recovery, you know, to expansion and hyper-expansion. You know, so this is part of it. And what's interesting to me And they have, I haven't seen any statistics yet in 2020, but the migration patterns of the population have been very interesting to watch. So if you look at New York City, for example, obviously that place is just in trouble from a police protection standpoint, from a COVID standpoint, from a housing listing standpoint, from a reduction in pricing standpoint to an employment standpoint. You know, that one is going to get, you know, hit pretty good. And there, the listings in New York City are down 57%. So you start to see that, you start to see people exiting and they're going other places. They're going to Florida, people in Seattle. I'm up in the Northwest right now. They're coming to smaller towns and they're, you know, they're looking at, you know, leaving their $1 or $2 million home or even $500,000 home. And they're coming to, you know, a place like this where you can buy something for $200 and, you have a yard and, you know, a little bit of space. And because of the mobility that people have now and the flexibility on where they can work from. So that's been a big deal. My next door neighbor, actually, he just bought next door. You know, I was talking to him the other day. I'm like, this is actually kind of funny. I'm like, hey, he's like, oh, what do you do? I go, I'm real estate and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what do you do? He's like, well, you know, I sold Siri to Apple, you know. Like, oh, okay. I've heard of that. Yeah. And so anyway, and then he started another company and sold it to Samsung. And, you know, he moved from San Jose to here for, you know, because he wanted to get out of, obviously he exited too, but he wanted to get out of California. As are people in the market. My next friend on the other side is from San Francisco. Same story, similar. So people are migrating to different areas where they can work remotely. He's still working. You know, he sold. He's still running his business from here. He gets on a flight out of Spokane and, you know, flies where he needs to fly. And his family's, you know, they're outside. And so I think that's happening. I'm seeing it happen. These small little, you know, little towns are starting to see some movement.
You know, it's interesting because so many times we think of multifamily, especially you locate near employment centers. Those folks that are your tenants primarily go to work for somebody else. They usually aren't entrepreneurs, although some are. They certainly aren't retired, although in some of your senior living complexes, yes. But for the most part, they're working people. And yet there is definitely this pattern of people saying, we want to get out of Dodge. We want to move a little further out of town. We want to be where the air is fresh and there's not so much clumping together of people all the time. And so that might be opportunity. Now, of course, you know, people are going to drive more perhaps because of this, but you, if you're done, if you're retired, if you're exiting, you can move almost anywhere. But these tenants are still dependent on employment centers to a good degree.
They are. They are. It's interesting though. We haven't quite seen it all yet. Twitter came out and said, you never have to come back to work. Their whole workforce.
Now, did they say that on a tweet? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. They did. But I think about that. I was like, wow, like, and Google's considering it. And, you know, these companies are considering, like, you know, maybe we can manage this from home. I've talked to a ton of entrepreneurs that are like, I got 150 or 200 people at home and I've had to figure it out how to run my business from home. I talked to Ross today, my partner, as you know, we're putting offers on 3 land deals this week, all from home. And, you know, and you can do it, you know, it's just different, you know, before it's just breaking old patterns. So you can work, you can still work, you can still get productive in a lot of areas.
So maybe another thing to talk about with you, Ken, is just because you've been through multiple market cycles and because you've learned the lesson that you don't get emotionally attached to investment real estate, when you are best and final with 5 other guys and there were 30 bids, you really have to be able to keep your cool and, you know, not get emotionally attached and know when to walk away. When it was the downside of 2008, you guys often showed up as maybe the only bidder. That's a whole different mentality. So take us through as we go through and find opportunity after the virus. How do we make sure we keep our heads on straight?
Thank you. I actually think it's easy to flip the TV on and get depressed and look at the numbers and get depressed and look at all the stuff and get depressed. But this is exactly the reason why you guys exist and I exist is because we're, you know, if you have the financial education, you can look at both sides. You have to be practical over here and realistic about what's happening. But at the same token, you can kind of take a look at, okay, where do we think it's going and what can we do with that information? And I think there's going to be a ton of potential for redevelopment. You know, you're going to see regional malls and small little centers that aren't going to make it. You know, you're going to see, there's going to be a lot of single family homes, in my opinion, at the end, 1 year from now on the market. And it's going to drive prices down. It's going to be a great time to do that. I think we're heading into a renter economy. You know, what happened during the Bush administration is we had home ownership up around 68, 69%. Now it's gone down to the low 60s. Well, that's a 6 or 7% difference. That's a lot. It kind of went back up as people started buying homes again. And so, you know, I think we're going to move back toward a renter nation again. And that'll be single family. There'll be repurposed. There'll be lots of opportunities. But I do think we're going to see some price corrections personally. You know, it has to be. When you have that much inventory coming, then it will happen. But not all in all, not in all markets. So you got to be, you know, like the market I'm in right now is there's bidding wars on anything in the $300,000 range, literally bidding wars right now.
Hey, one more topic, and that is, you know, we're big fans of this, and this is the way that you have approached acquiring a lot of apartment units over the years, and that is syndication, you know, assembling a lot of folks' capital together to go buy bigger deals. What's your outlook there? Is this a time to get into syndication? Is this the time to stay away from it? What do you think about real estate when it comes to the future and a syndication, the way to go?
Well, we're still moving along, guys. As I told you, we're looking at three pieces of land right now. We're going to put them together. We're going to build apartments. We've been building apartments. You know, each one of our raises is, you know, 15 to 20 million bucks for just the equity. And so there's still a lot of folks out there. I think a lot of it depends on how damaged people were and where they were and how, you know, if they had a lot of money in the market. You know, I actually have investors that got really hurt in the stock market, as an example. You know, they have money around, their businesses are, you know, shut down. Like my friend, you know, they were doing very well before and now they're not. So, you know, they're hunkering down, just trying to survive. So you have that. But on the other side, ironically, I actually even have other friends that are just killing it. And, you know, there are industries that are really doing really, really well right now. And there's industries that are really not doing very well. So I think it's going to depend. There's always no shortage of people looking for somebody who can make them money on their money. I mean, it's just never ending. And you know, I belong to a country club up here and there's about 300 guys. And I swear it's almost as if, you know, the world's not even falling apart, you know, and they're up there playing poker and, you know, and their companies are rolling and they're, you know, and I'm sure they've taken some hits here and there, but they're always, you know, that's just one small little piece of the world. But the truth is, there's a lot of folks, always, they pull all their money out of the market and they're looking to keep it going, you know, because they're afraid of inflation, which I'm afraid of too, with all this easing and all this federal money being thrown at everybody. It has to show up somewhere. By the way, it's already showing up in property taxes, if you haven't noticed. Take a look at what they just did in Nashville, 34% increase. So the government's going to have to get it from somewhere. And I actually think this is something that we need to keep our eye on. Is the property taxes is something that's a real concern. And so as you're buying, as you're syndicating, as you're looking, I think you really got to take a look at what the property taxes are around those properties, because it can really change your cash flow.
Now, Kenny, you are an educator as well as a guy doing deals. And what I appreciate is that you take time out of your busy schedule, which you certainly don't need to do, and you share. You're very often at our events. You've been on our Investor Summit 8 or 9 years. You've also been recently doing a lot of education. Tell us how folks can get plugged in to what you're doing and to your premium content.
Thank you. Yeah. So we're on kenmacro.com. That's our platform. We're putting videos up. We're putting our forms and everything up that people can download during this pandemic and things that are educational around property management and investing. But what's been really fun, what I've been having fun, guys, doing is jumping on this YouTube channel. And I've been putting a couple YouTube videos out a week on current topics and trending things so that I can kind of stay active. And that's been really good for me. Because, like, for example, when I was up here, I interviewed a woman who has one of the larger real estate, single family real estate businesses in the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls area. And, you know, her insight with, you know, people coming into the market. So I've been doing a lot of that. It's been wonderful to have all these different folks. I just had a guy last week up here talk about ag land. He's got literally 50,000 acres and he literally buys agriculture land and, you know, and talks about that. So I'm just trying to branch out and teach people about the different types of real estate.
Well, we love that. And of course, keep writing books. Return to Orchard Canyon, we talked about in the last show, but love that book more and more, getting good responses from people who heard you on the show, got the book and said, oh my gosh, this is so great. So if you haven't picked that up, you can do that. And of course, KenMcElroy.com is the place to go. And you can maybe pick up one of those shirts. I love that. At some point, your timing is right. Love that quote, man. There's our good friend, Kenny McElroy. Ken, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts with our listeners once again.
Sure, of course, guys.
You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
In uncertain times like this, it's great to know there are two things you can always count on. High demand for affordable single-family homes to live in, and Terry Kerr's amazing Memphis team at Mid-South Home Buyers to find, fix, and manage the next addition to your recession-resistant real estate portfolio. The Memphis market is a logistics and distribution dynamo with an economic engine that's essential to moving goods and critical supplies all over the United States. Quality rehab, proven profitable property management, affordable rents, and solid ROI make turnkey property investing through Terry's team a dream when it matters most. To learn more about Memphis and Mid-South home buyers, send an email to midsouth@realestateguysradio.com. That's midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Garrett Sutton, Robert Kiyosaki's asset protection attorney and the author of Loopholes of Real Estate and Start Your Own Corporation. As an American or foreign-based investor in U.S. real estate, you know we are a litigious society. You know that you need to protect your real estate, paper, and bullion holdings with the right mix of LLCs and corporations. Our firm, Corporate Direct, not only forms these entities, but importantly, we properly maintain them too. If you fail to follow the corporate formalities, you can lose it all in an instant. Corporate Direct is your source for LLC protection and maintenance in all 50 states. Visit CorporateDirect.com or call 800-600-1760. Mention the Real Estate Guys for a free bonus. That's 800-600-1760 or CorporateDirect.com. We look forward to assisting you at CorporateDirect.com.
Hey, this is Phil Collin from Def Leppard and Delta D. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. Hey, if you've ever thought about doing bigger deals using other people's money, come on out to the Secrets of Successful Syndication, scheduled for the end of September, either live in Dallas, Texas, or on a virtual screen near you. All the details on our website, realestateguysradio.com, under events. Well, I tell you, every day I spend with Kenny McElroy is an awesome day.
Yeah, I stand by my comment at the top of the show. He's a philosopher, and I think that's important because we talk all the time about personal investment philosophy in our syndication program. We talk about personal syndication philosophy, and your philosophy is really what drives your decisions and your behaviors. And then once you kind of know who you are and what you're trying to accomplish and what you're willing to do and not willing to do, a lot of what you'd help people draw out of themselves, Robert, at the Create Your Future Goals Retreat, then you build on that foundation. You start to build teams and processes and around that. And Kenny's built himself a fabulous business. But it's all really based on the core of Kenny just being a really good guy. And his partner, Ross, another just really good guy, care about people, care about their tenants. I think one of the things that I heard Kenny talking about was the idea of these people are not account numbers. They're not widgets. They're not machines. They're not ATMs. They are human beings. These are people with families and they're having the ups and downs. They're being hit by this COVID-19 crisis and they don't have the depth of resources that, you know, a lot of other folks, certainly people like Ken have. And Ken's cognizant of that, and his culture and his team are cognizant of it. And I personally believe that you know, well, maybe you don't squeeze every last drop of blood out of somebody when the chips are down. You more than make up for that with loyalty and referrals and goodwill when things begin to pick back up again. And in spite of the fact that I think we all acknowledge, any those of us that have been working on the crisis investing webinar series, and anybody paying attention right now knows that we're heading into some pretty stormy times. They don't have to be bad times. I think Kenny was very upbeat, but they're going to be some real challenges and some real opportunities. And how you act and what you get out of it and what happens on the backside of that is going to grow out of your philosophy. I think it all starts there.
You know, we often talk about how Kenny, with his easy style and kind of his just, you know, mannerisms, people miss stuff he says, and he has brilliant, brilliant thoughts. I thought one of the unique things was talking about, hey, we vetted these tenants well. They were screened well going in, so they're not tenants we want to lose. That's a philosophy. So many people just want to get a vacancy filled. They take anybody with a pulse, and that usually doesn't turn out well. In order to have the fortitude to wait for the right client, to make sure that you've gone through all the processes necessary to ensure, and you can never guarantee, but to get your best opportunity to have a great tenant, that's not someone you want to get rid of just because they lost their job. So loved that. Love the fact that he's always looking to the horizon and that he is paying attention. And that's what it's going to take. We're going to have to be more diligent than ever on the downside. It's what happened when things were going down. You know, we have often remarked about how Kenny and Ross invested $300 million during that three-year period from 2009, 10, 11, when everyone else was running for the exits. And in fact, he talked about, you know, selling $250 million worth of property in 2019. Those are big numbers. Don't let that intimidate you, but that's a guy that's voting with assets. And it's encouraging to see that, yeah, he got it right. But also, we've been around Ken long enough to know he's humble enough to admit when he doesn't get it right.
Sure.
At the Secrets of Successful Syndication, we've often asked syndicators like Ken, hey, have you ever lost money, your client's money? And he's like, absolutely. There's not a successful syndicator long-term I've ever met who hasn't come into a bad deal, who hasn't had an issue or challenge, who hasn't lost money, either their own or somebody else's. That's just the reality of the game. And instead of the guys that go out there and make it seem so easy and flash the checks on the screen and pretend there are no downside to real estate, Ken's exactly the opposite of that. He's upbeat, but he's pragmatic and he's a realist.
Yeah, I think it comes down, especially for syndicators, when it's other people's money. We talk about this in our syndication program all the time. It's about responsibility. And, you know, when you realize that when you're a landlord, a property owner, and you have a tenant, a family maybe, kids in your property, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to be well capitalized. You have a responsibility to service the property when times get tough. You know, if you're building a business based on goodwill, you have a responsibility. Clearly, to your investors, you have a responsibility. Your lenders, you have a responsibility. So it's really a matter of being a very responsible person. And that starts with, at your core, caring about people as people. And even though we want, when we go into a market, we want to know, okay, who's the tenant? And then we want to know how long is the line out the door of tenants that could take that person's place if it doesn't work out. But that doesn't mean that we look at the person who's in there as an interchangeable part. You know, we're not looking for a reason to fire people in our business. We're not looking for a reason to kick people out. I mean, this is where you look at some of the political rhetoric, and I don't want to get political, but it's hard not to. And they're talking about removing things like the 1031 tax deferred exchange, and they're talking about making up for budget shortfalls because of COVID-19 by taxing property owners. So it's kind of hard not to get a little bit. But, you know, when landlords are characterized as selfish, taking, greedy people who are using and abusing their tenants and communities in order to get fat and rich, and, you know, I mean, that's a loser mentality. That's a loser picture of what a real estate investor is. And, you know, Kenny's what a real estate investor is. He's the real deal. And when you listen to him, he's a real person. He cares about real people. And when he gets it right for the right reason. And when he gets it wrong, he owns it. And then he discovers what he learned. I mean, a big part of that whole process for me personally in 2008, watching the way Kenny played it and knowing how I played it, and then realized that next time around, I want to be a lot more like Ken. I want to be a lot more thinking ahead. I want to be a lot more strategic. I want to be a lot more diligent, a lot more intelligent, more focused, and you know, ahead of the curve. So Ken's a great guy to get around, just because you learn by watching his example and hearing what he has to say.
If you wish that we weren't done with Ken today and you'd like to hear more from Ken, well, a couple of things to do. Ken is part of our COVID-19 crisis investing webinar series. In fact, he represents real estate. We've got a bunch of amazing thought leaders and insiders and economists, and Ken is really the guy representing all forms of real estate, and he goes into a lot more detail on the webinar coming up. So if you're not signed up for that yet, it's time to do that, because it's about to roll out. Just send an email to crisis@realestateguysradio.com, crisis@realestateguysradio.com. And it's probably too soon to announce this, but we're going to do it anyway. Coming up in mid-August, you'll be able to sign up for the 2021 Investor Summit. It's going to be incredible. And coming back for his 9th year, Ken McElroy will be with us.
Yeah, we're excited about that. That's just, it's your golden opportunity. We just got done talking about how precious it is to be able to spend time with successful people. And we put the summit together every year for the purpose of being able to give people who are willing to climb the barrier to entry. And it's a steep one, both in terms of time and expense. But when you do, you're in a room full of extraordinary people and you get quality interactions. And it's a big enough room that there's a big supply of people to talk to, but it is a small enough room that you get a chance to talk to pretty much everybody, and you get pretty good access to even the big names and the people you really want to spend time with. And so it's fabulous. We didn't get to do it in our normal format this year, the 18th year. 17 years in a row, we did it on a cruise ship. This year, we had to do it on a computer screen. Next year, it's going to be a little bit different, but it's going to be fabulous. And we're all going to, depending on what's going on in the world, the plan is we're all going to be together and we're going to spend quality time together, eating, drinking, talking, and enjoying each other's company, picking up tidbits and talking real estate and investing.
Right now, there's a small window for our alumni to get registered, and then we're going to open it up to you. So pay attention and you'll hear more about the 2021 Investor Summit next month. A big thanks to Ken McElroy for sharing his wisdom with us. And next week on the show, we've got another fantastic episode. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.